think Samuel surprised his parents today by playing the offertory. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm interrupting the series on Acts to talk about Thanksgiving today. I'll come back to this one verse at least twice today. I read the best story this week about a man named Robert Orban who had been reading a lot about the antibiotics and chemicals being put into turkeys, so he decided he was going to raise his own turkey for Thanksgiving. His family protested and said, no, we don't want to do that. And he said, no, we're going to raise a turkey. We're going to know what we're going to be eating. Well, he bought it in the spring, and the bird grew, and the family sort of fell in love with it. And around November, it came time, and he said, no, I made it plain from the very beginning. We're having this turkey for Thanksgiving. And after Thanksgiving, he went to work. One of his co-workers said, who knew all about this, knew the dilemma and what he was facing with his family for having this turkey as a Thanksgiving meal. He said, well, how did it go? Did you have the turkey for Thanksgiving? And this man said, yes, he sat right in the seat next to me. I want to ask you, are you going to stop long enough this Thanksgiving to truly be thankful for all that God has given you? You know, we have started in America calling Thanksgiving Turkey Day. And you know why we're doing that? Because we're getting further and further away of realizing that we have someone to thank for everything we have. We need to go back to the Pilgrims in 1621. You know if from grammar school that they were blown off course. They were headed to Virginia and went farther north and suffered a terrible winter, a winter worse than they ever imagined. There were 102 souls. By April, there were only 50 left. And they got together and they, as you know from history, they tried to determine whether they would go back to the old world or stay. But the majority of them said they were to stay. And they planted barley and corn, and it was successful. And the natives were also helpful to them. And on the 1 year mark of their having arrived there, they gathered to determine how they would celebrate their arrival and honor God. And the first group said that it should be a day of mourning for the 52 who had died, who lay in unmarked graves. And that would be something that we would probably think about, of those who came on the Mayflower and did not survive that first year. But they later determined that it would not be a day of mourning, but that it would be a day of thanksgiving, because they said, the leaders said, at least 50 of us have survived, and we need to thank God for that fact. So the first Thanksgiving was that. It was a thanking of God for their survival. And you can imagine, what if our forefathers had chosen mourning instead of thanksgiving upon which to build this great country that you and I live in today? But it was thanksgiving. Of all the forces that enable us to cope with life, gratitude is perhaps the most potent. I want you to remember that. And look what it did for the Pilgrims. They survived. God blessed them. And this nation came because of their faithfulness. Gratitude. If that was true for our founding fathers, the Pilgrims, could it not be true for you as an individual that gratitude is what you really need to concentrate on, because it is gratitude that will give you the strength to face the life circumstances that you're going to face? And precious ones, I can say that for a congregation. What should be our theme, our thinking constantly is not what we have lost, but what we have. That's what the Pilgrims said. Let's not concentrate on what we have lost on this day, but what we have. And I think some of us fall into that trap of only thinking about what we have lost and not what we have still. And folks, you know that we are in a transition as a congregation. We have lost members to death and other reasons. And we're smaller than we used to be. But folks, I want to tell you, there's still a core here who believe the same thing that we have believed all of our 20-some years as a congregation. And you believe, and I think you believe with me, that God has been working and that He will continue to work in such a way that our best days are ahead of us. We just have to have an attitude of gratitude, be grateful to God for all He's done through our lives as a congregation, and to trust Him for the future of this congregation. As we prepare ourselves for the table today and for Thanksgiving this Thursday, I want to just preach a little simple sermon that I've thought about. I haven't used an acrostic in a long time. You know what an acrostic is. It's a word and you take the first letter off of each. I've taken the word thanks today. T-H-A-N-K-S. And I want to say just a little. I want to take the letters of each of the letters in the word thanks. And I've chosen something that I want to talk about with each of those letters. So are you with me? I'm going to ask you at the end if you can remember what these things are. Let's begin with T. Are you thankful for all your things? Folks, I want to tell you something. You, as an American, have more things than any human in the history of this world. You just have no idea how many things you have. I went back and gathered some statistics that I think should just not only shame us, but wake us up as to how blessed we are. It's been calculated that if you reduce the world's population to a city of 1,000 inhabitants, you've reduced the entire world to 1,000 inhabitants, 46 of these people would be citizens of the United States. Out of 1,000, only 46 would be citizens of the United States. The other 954 would represent the rest of the world's population. Now, those 46 Americans would receive one half of the city's income. 50%. And the other half would be divided among the remaining 954 people. The 46 Americans would have a life expectancy of 75 years, while everyone else, their life expectancy would be 50 years or less. The Americans would have 1,500% more possessions than the rest of the city's population. The dogs and the cats, lucky enough to live with the Americans, would have a more balanced diet than most of the people in the city. Things. Are you thankful for things? I read of a foreigner who came, and as he was leaving, they asked, "What was it that impressed you most about the United States? The skyscrapers, the interstate system, our universities? What was it that just really stood out to you?" And this foreigner said, "The size of their garbage can." Folks, that is so telling. We have so much that our... Listen, how many of you, like me, in a week's time, had more to put in your can and you slipped some into your neighbor's can? We are blessed. Are you grateful for things? I had a classmate in high school who posted a video. I said, please find this little video. It's called The Child of the Year 2017. I want you to see this, and I want you to think about their situation and your situation. A little sister taking care of her little brother. Would you show that video, please? That child is probably 5 years old. Cooking an ear of corn and sharing it with her brother. Making sure little brother has something to eat. Blowing it off for him. When we were in Brazil, we would visit congregations and communities that were so poor. I remember one time we were in this little church and the people were just dirt poor. Just dirt poor. In fact, we'd gone to visit in a home and underneath the house there were the floor, and then they had cracks in the floor and they kept their animals under the house and you could see it there. And we went to worship in this little church and here these people are so poor with their little children. You know what they were singing? Deus é tão bom. Deus é tão bom. Deus é tão bom. É tão bom pra mim. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. They could see it and so thankful for what little they had. Folks, you and I, we need to repent. We need to repent. We are so spoiled. We overly bless Christians in the United States. We need to stop poor mouthing and be grateful. Amen? And let it stop. Let it stop. And let's start in the house of God acting like the wealthy people we are. And quit playing around with the kingdom of God. These people need Jesus. And we argue over the color of the carpet. We have too much. And God is calling us back. T. Things. H. How about being thankful for the helpers God has placed in our lives? You know, a few weeks ago I mentioned Mr. Rogers. He said in times of tragedy, always, his mother said, always look for the helpers. And I've thought about this. I put on my Facebook page this week something that Albert Schweitzer said. He said, sometimes our light goes out, but it is blown again into instant flame by an encounter with another human being. Each of us owes the deepest thanks to those who have rekindled this inner light. We have all had people in our lives, helpers. I want to tell you folks, God wrote them into your story. At that time, at that place, that person came to help you. And I want to give you an assignment this week. I want you to think about, go back as far as you can. I was lying in bed and I was thinking about, as far back as I could, as a little teeny boy, all the people through my life God had placed strategically to help me get to where I am today. And, you know, we've got to be creative and really force ourselves, discipline ourselves to think about all the blessings. And I've thought about this week all those who have helped me over the years. There have been so many, and I have just started counting them. And I can name the people that, and some I had forgotten until I started doing this, and I thought to myself, oh, God, thank you, they were there at the time that I needed them. And I want you to do that this week. I want you to think about all the people who have helped you be where you are today, not just family members, but other people, teachers who believed in you. I've had that. Coaches who believed in you. People who told you. In my first church, I went back and I remember Mitch didn't know. I hadn't been trained to preach a sermon. And I would just preach Herschel Hobbs simple sermons on series and go and add my stuff. And one man would come, Horace Pittman, on Sunday nights and say, Richard, honey, he called everybody honey, that was the best sermon I ever heard. And I knew that he was exaggerating. But, oh, do you think they encouraged me? You know it did. The helpers in your life. Who are the helpers in your life? T-H-A. How about adversity? Have you ever thanked God for the hard times that turned you into the person you are? It built character in you that would never have arisen within you had it not been challenged with adversity. J.C. Penney, the great retailer, they ask him, What are the greatest motivators in your life that made you so successful? He said, there are two. Jesus Christ and hard times made me who I am. And you know, we thank God for all the good times. But folks, I want to tell you, God is working in the hard times and the bad times just as much. If we have faith to believe that and to believe, do you believe He's sovereign enough to invade any circumstance for your anointing and His favor upon you using those hard times? In fact, I can tell you, I have grown mainly in those hard times. I just don't grow that much in good times. Do you? I sort of get lazy in good times. I get forgetful in good times. But it's when I'm challenged, the adversity, listen, God knows what you're going through. Can you trust Him to form you? In fact, His will for you is to make you more like Jesus. And we know that Scripture tells us in Hebrews that Jesus Himself, our Savior, learned obedience by what He suffered. That's what Hebrews says. And we will learn obedience and also grow and become more like Jesus if we will thank God for everything, knowing that He is in it. You know, my favorite Bible character, Joseph, told his brothers, "You meant an evil done to me, but God meant it good." And look at the character Joseph. In fact, I think he's the most Christ-like character in the Bible. In fact, he parallels the life of Jesus. Study it. It's just amazing that he believed God even when he was suffering and trusted God through the whole thing. THA, how about N? Let's thank God for now, this moment. Jesus told us we can't live our lives anchored to the past or apprehensive about the future. Time can't be saved. It can only be savored. Are you living fully in the now? Because, folks, that's all you have. You don't have the past. You don't have the future. You have now. Robert Hastings, Baptist, he summed up beautifully why we need to discipline ourselves to be in the now, living fully in the now. I want you to hear this. It's called The Station. Tucked away in our subconscious is an idyllic vision. We see ourselves on a long trip that spans the continent. We are traveling by train. Remember that. Out the windows, we drink in the passing scene of cars on nearby highways, of children waving at a crossing, of cattle grazing on a distant hillside, of smoke pouring from a power plant, of row upon row of corn and wheat, of flatlands and valleys, of mountains and rolling hillsides, the city skylines and village halls. But uppermost in our minds is the final destination. Bands will be playing and flags waving. Once we get there, our dreams will come true, and the pieces of our lives will fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. How restlessly we pace the aisles of the train, damning the minutes for loitering, waiting, waiting, waiting for the station. When we reach the station, that will be it, we cry. When I'm 18, when I buy my new Mercedes-Benz, when I put my first kid through college, when I've paid off my mortgage, when I get a promotion, when I reach the age of retirement, I'll live happily ever after. Sooner or later, we realize there is no station. No one place to arrive at once and for all. The true joy of life is the trip. The station is only a dream. It constantly outdistances us. Relish the moment is a good motto, especially when coupled with Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It isn't the burdens of today that drive men mad. It is the regrets over yesterday and the fear of tomorrow. Regret and fear are twin thieves who rob us of today. So stop pacing the aisles and counting the miles. Instead, climb more mountains, eat more ice cream, go barefoot more often, swim more rivers, watch more sunsets, laugh more, cry less. Life must be lived as we go along. The station will come soon enough. Now I ask you, right now, how many of you are not even here right now? You're somewhere else in your brain. Are you present in the present? Is your mind and your body in the same place? Be grateful that you're here. I look around and there are so many who aren't. You're in the now. You still have opportunity to be used of God to make a difference in the kingdom of God where He has placed you. T-H-A-N, how about K? What about kindness? Did you know, I didn't know this, last Monday, November the 13th, is World Kindness Day. That, I mean, it's getting so bad we have to have a World Kindness Day where we start being kind to people. I've been thinking a lot about kindness I've been shown in my life. Even as a pastor, I was thinking how gracious you have been to forgive me and encourage me when I make mistakes and so forth. You've always been there to know that I'm human, that I'm not perfect. I remember I had this wonderful illustration about the greatest basketball player who ever lived, Michael Jordan, played for North Carolina. And I mean, it was a great illustration, and I was really trying to make a point with it. But the whole time I was calling him Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. And you all, I remember, looked at me, you were smiling, and I was wondering, I think, well, maybe they're getting what I'm getting across. But you were thinking, you know, that poor preacher, he doesn't even know what he's saying. How many of you been here long enough to remember when I did the Lord's Supper? And the deacon standing with me, he and I took it, and finally, halfway through, I realized we hadn't given you the elements yet. But you know what I did? I acted like that was just a new thing, that your leaders would do it first, and then we would go through it. And somebody even said, you know, I hadn't seen it done like that, but that was interesting. I just totally forgot. It's totally fine. You're gracious. Thank you for being kind to your pastor. Remind yourself to be kind to others. Tomorrow, Monday, I want you to compliment the first three human beings you see. Compliment them. Make them feel better. Write a handwritten note to someone needing a good dose of kindness. You know anybody like that? Write a note to them. I tell people all the time, will you write this person? Will you write this person? You just don't know what it means to go, if you're in a difficult situation, and receive a letter from somebody who has handwritten it, that they're thinking. I mean, it changes you that day. It gives you hope. It encourages you. Leave an extremely generous tip when you go out to lunch today. I mean, just blow the waitress or waiter away. Leave a wonderful tip. And don't leave a track. You know, a lot of people do that and leave a track. You know, that's a nice thing to do. But let your actions be your testimony as much as anything written. Keep them guessing. Why would a person leave me a $10 tip for a $20 bill? Give something along with a kind word to the person standing under the bridge over at Walnut Grove saying they're homeless and hungry. Don't sit there and have a debate about they're going to use it for drugs or going to get something to drink. Be kind. Let me ask you this. Has God ever given you anything you don't deserve? And I think to myself, what is a couple of dollars or something to a person like that? And you know, I have really, in just doing that before, these people, they really do, they say thank you. They really mean it. That's just kindness. I mean, you can afford it. Quit being so cheap. Amen? You remember, you're the richest people in the history of the world. What's a couple of dollars to somebody giving them kindness? And here's something you're not expecting. Be kind to yourself. It is not a sin to be kind to yourself. In fact, it's required if you're going to be healthy spiritually. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And the sad thing is, we're doing that. And we don't love ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, we cannot love our neighbors. Do something you enjoy. Hunt, fish, read, play golf, go to the movies, exercise, things that make you happy. That's not sinful. It's healthy. Do that for yourselves. Write this down on your bulletin. And you can go there later. It's a web address. Futureme.org. Futureme.org altogether. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's a site where you go and write an encouraging letter to your future self. And you mark a year or the date, say a year from now, this letter I'm writing to myself, it will be emailed back to you. And you can read testimonies of how writing a letter to yourself and it being sent back to you later, it shows you. So the testimonies are incredible about how that letter in itself projected and encouraged you to be everything that you have put in that letter. Or when you read it, you look back and say, God, you've been faithful to me. And I am so grateful for that. Be good to yourself. You know, it's biblical self-care. It's biblical self-care. Not being obnoxious about it, but taking care of yourself. Because you can't enjoy life if you don't like yourself. You just can't. It's something that we need to say to ourselves, that our self-image is so important. Folks, I want to tell you what Scripture says. We are the beloved of God. We are the beloved of God. And if we take our identity, our self-image, and root it in shame and guilt and inferiority and rejection, we're not going to be healthy. And we're not going to be effective in the kingdom of God. It's time for the children of God to act like the children of God. That will make a difference. Be who God says you are. Quit saying unkind things in your self-talk. I'm dumb. I never do anything right. I'm so stupid. I look terrible. Stop it and start confessing what the Word of God says you are. I am a child of the Most High God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am made in the very image of God. And folks, act like it. It will make a difference. Quit comparing yourselves to others. You are so unique. There's no one like you. Never has been, never will be. I read this week. It just blows my mind. One sperm cell out of 250 million, one out of 250 million fertilizes the egg. And then I read, remember your greatness. Let me read this to you. Before you were born and were still too tiny for the human eye to see, you won the race for life from among 250 million competitors. And yet, how fast you've forgotten your strength when your very existence is proof of your greatness. You were born a winner, a warrior, one who defied the odds by surviving the most gruesome battle of all. And now that you are a giant, why do you even doubt victory against smaller numbers and wider margins? The only walls that exist are those you have placed in your mind. And whatever obstacles you conceive exist only because you have forgotten what you have already achieved. Susie Kasem. And folks, that is so true of Christians. We cannot be who God has called us to be unless our self-image is what Scripture says, that we are made in His image, that we're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He has used us to bring light to the world. And may we as a congregation do that. T-H-A-N-K and then S. When's the last time you have stopped to thank God? Maybe do it this Thursday for saving you. There was a song back in the 70s, I think. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You remember that song? When's the last time you have thanked Jesus for salvation? We just take it for granted. I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Folks, do you know what it cost for you to be able to say, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved. I tell you, I remember Richard Hipps before Jesus invaded my lostness. Do you remember that person? How many of you remember the person before Jesus invaded your life? You know, we forget that. Let's thank Him for our salvation. Where would we be today if it were not for Him? One of my favorite quotes as I'm finishing up comes from a 13th century Christian, Meister Eckhart. He said, if thank you is the only thing that you ever utter, it will be enough. And I believe that. Because we belong to Jesus, we have much to be thankful for. You know, Jesus said that God the Father gave us to Him. We are His. We belong to Jesus. And how thankful we should be. And as we come to the table today, I want you to meditate on John 6:39. These are the words of Jesus. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Are you thankful for that? I am. Let's meet our Lord at the table. Deacons, would you stand, please?